This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I don't get to see the New Yorker's music critic Alex Ross very much at all. He's always hopscotching around the country, going to festivals and concerts, and when he's in New York, he's usually at Carnegie Hall or some club downtown that I've never heard of. So when he's in, I try to grab him and see what he's been listening to lately, what he's been reading, just to catch up. Alex, what's been on your mind?
Sure. Well, I'll start in the music zone. There is a work by a Canadian composer named Linda Caitlin Smith, who's not very well known. I don't know that much about her, really, just a few of her pieces. But the past few months over the summer, I've been mesmerized by this piece called Dirt Road for violin and percussion. Very quiet, very spare music, and the violin has a sort of a raw, unfinished tone, almost folkish, but it's not any kind of folk music you've heard. Her music fits in with this trend in contemporary music toward, I guess you could call it, slow music, quiet music. I wrote in the magazine recently about this group of composers called Von Bavizer, sort of ultra-minimalists, and she belongs somewhere in that neighborhood as well. And it's the kind of music that it almost becomes a physical refuge. I mean, maybe in a generally overloaded world, we're drawn to this kind of music, but it's a place that I want to go live in, which is a big compliment to pay to music or any work of art, that it creates that kind of palpable space.
Do you think the overloaded world, the sort of the cyber world, the world of more and more noise, creates a different kind of music?
Well, I think it inspires artists to mirror, to capture that overload. So, I mean, in the past 100 years, you've had tremendously dense, chaotic music, but then, yes, at the same time, to create the opposite, to create the antidote to that realm.
So, and this is in the latter category?
Yes, definitely.
What else have you been paying attention to lately?
Well, I wanted to give a shout out to the Finnegan's Wake Twitter account. Which, you know, there are a bunch of these literary Twitter accounts where you can read Moby Dick line by line or Shakespeare plays. And
what's the difference between reading James Joyce's maybe slightly impenetrable novel or completely impenetrable novel for many and the Twitter account? What are you getting bit by bit?
Well, I think it's not about, you know, actually absorbing the book in a real sense, but it just hit the language of it interferes with and interacts with the general stream of you know, outrage and anxiety and bickering and self-promotion and everything else on Twitter in this kind of serendipitous way, which is wonderful. One day I was, Trump had said something crass and grotesque, as he does every day, and everyone was talking about how crass and grotesque this thing was, and then Finnegan's Wake chimed in with the single word, ugh, and that was sort of all that needed to be said. So.
And anything else?
Yes. I'm going to mention Willa Cather's Death Comes for the Archbishop, which is, you know, not an obscure book that needs any promotion from me.
And the world's best title. Love that
absolutely.
Title.
And it's a book, I mean, there's something musical about it. It's a book in which space and silence count as much actions and words on the page. It has that tremendous quality to it as you go through the life of the French bishop who comes to New Mexico to found the diocese. And there's also, there's a curious kind of personal connection. My grandfather, Clarence Samuel Ross, was a geologist who was born in 1880 and died at a grand old age when I was a child. I barely remember him. But he specialized in the geology of New Mexico and went there many times. And my father recently told me, after I'd had this very powerful experience reading Death Comes for the Archbishop, that this was one of my grandfather's favorite books, that he read it many times. And it gave me this wonderful thread of connection to this man from a completely different age, whom I hardly knew, but we have that book in common.
Alex, thank you.
Thank you.
The New Yorker's Alex Ross. You can hear excerpts from that piece we just heard by Linda Catlin Smith at newyorkerradio.org.